Okay, the learning we do this week is should be a zchus for refuah shlema for Gita Rivka Bas Chaya Risa, which is taka in need of refuah very much. So we continue to learn in her zchus, and it's sponsored by Yula Boys in honor of the Reisha guy in the back. Just kidding, that wasn't the first one was real, the second one wasn't real. But so we continue to learn for refuah shlema, and we'll continue with the Parsha Chabura. I'm sorry that I'm giving it 2 weeks in a row. We're just trying to get back on track, back on schedule. With the every other. So the shir is not going to begin necessarily with the pasuk in Parshas Yisro, but one of the things we learn about in Parshas Yisro, one of the concepts that comes up, one of the parts of the Parsha, is we have Matan Torah, and that is the giving of the Aseret HaDibros as we know it. We're well aware of what Rashi tells us in the beginning of Parshas Behar, that the Tarag Mitzvos were nitnu le Moshe Rabbeinu Bahar Sinai, that the 613 Mitzvos were given to the Jewish people through Moshe Rabbeinu as a conduit by Har Sinai. It's well known also that the earlier, you know, the Gaonim were very keen on, you know, connecting the Aseret HaDibros that we read about in the Parsha here and in Parsha of Aschanan to the Taryag Mitzvos that we know about, the 613 Mitzvos. If you look at source number one, you have Rashi. Next piece of Parsha, Rashi tells us, Kol Sheish Meos V'Shalosh Esrei Mitzvos B'Chal Aseret HaDibros Hein. Somehow you could find all 613 Mitzvos within the Aseret HaDibros. V'Rabbeinu Sadja Pirish Baz Haros, that the Asharos was that that concept of the Gaonim trying to find ways to be miyaseh to all the 613 mitzvos in the Aseret HaDibros. So he had these Asharos, sheyiseh l'chol davar v'dibor v'dibor mitzvos hatluyos bo. So every dibor of the Aseret HaDibros, he'd find which of the 613 were talui in each of those memers from HaKadosh Baruch in the original Aseret HaDibros. So the link is not only obviously a practical one, that through the Matan Torah we receive the entire Torah, but somehow there is a fundamental link between the Aseret HaDibros and the actual somewhat corresponding 613 mitzvahs that we know of. There's an amazing, we're not going to read it inside, and I didn't put on the sheet even, but there's an amazing netziv, if you look it up, in the Emek HaNetziv in the Sifri in Parshas Pinchas, in Pisca Dalid, an incredible piece where he explains a pasuk in Yeshaya, where Yeshaya says that Klal Yisrael didn't hear with the Lashon Shmiah, and they weren't Ma'azin, they didn't listen with Lashon Ha'azana, and he goes through a few actions like that, and the Netziv basically spells out over there that by Har Sinai we had like a limited sense of what we were able to take in, what we were able to absorb. And because we weren't listening on the higher level, so we were only able to hear Klalim, which were the Aseret HaDibros, but not Pratim, which would have been Ha'azana. Ha'azana is a more particular hearing, apparently. And we were able to hear, we weren't able to listen deeply, and therefore we were only collate, we were only able to take in the Aseret HaDibros, which are the Klalim, but the, I forgot what the word he uses, like the Anafim, the branches that come out of those Strashim, or the Pirtei Mitzvos, the Pratim, the details that come out of those Klalim, that we couldn't hear by Har Sinai. But the point is that what was being given over to us was the, qualitatively, was the Taryag Mitzvos. We just could only take it in as the Aseret HaDibros, but they're inherently linked. They're connected the same way we explained from the Gaonim. If you look in the Hamak Davar and Parshas Vaschanan, Dalad Yud Gimel, so you'll see a not as beautiful, not as as based on the pasuk there, but also the same idea from the Netziv. Yeah, although he didn't engage in the practice of Azharos, the composition of these, you know, poetic ways of enumerating the mitzvos the same way the Gaonim did, but the Rambam probably was impacted to some degree as well by that practice. Many have noted that we simply do not understand. We have no Havana, we have no Hasaga of why and how the Rambam composed the order of his Sefer HaMitzvos. When you open the Sefer HaChinuch, it's quite obvious how he arranged his mitzvos, al derech the parshios, and it's obvious why he did that way also, because it was a pedagogical tool. I mean, the story is that, you know, that he writes Sefer HaChinuch, which is the obvious second choice for any good parent who knows how to be mechanech. So, you know, you want sweet stuff, I'll write you a Sefer HaChinuch. Okay, it worked for generations. So it was a pedagogical tool to go al Seder HaTorah. That you understand. But the Rambam, it starts with Emunah, and then it goes to Avodah Zarah, and then it goes to Karbanos, and it goes to Tara. Like, it's all over the place. It's not really clear what the order is and why it's in that order. So that's the, you missed the good stuff.
What?
You're good. Oh. So we don't know the logic, and the Achronim pointed out, you know, Chaim Heller has a footnote about this in Sefer Mitzvos. We don't know. We have no clue how the Rambam counts it, achas la'achas, you know, one by one, how he's giving his order. I don't know, I've heard of Tversky Shlita point this out also, that we don't know and we may never know. Because he said it's, you know, it's a lifetime endeavor for someone to sit down and spend their entire life trying to crack the code over here. And even then, there's no guarantee that you would get it right. So it's very unclear what the conception is of how the Rambam ordered his mitzvahs. It's not for lack of trying. Lots of research has been done, and full books have been written on this question of how the Rambam ordered his Sefer mitzvahs. Rav David Cohn from Brooklyn has an essay in Harchavas Gvul Yaivitz, a two-volume Sefer, where he, we're going to quote from it again, B'li Neder Mishashem, soon also from a different essay there, but he has an essay there where he knocks off an earlier theory of someone who based his concept of the Rambam's order based on a line in Mor Nevuchim. He proves that that's wrong, rightfully so. It's a shaky theory. And then Rav David Cohen says that I have an idea. I have a start of the order of the Rambam Sefer Mitzvos. He says, even though I haven't been magi, I haven't reached the level of being able to count achas la'achas, I can't tell you every single mitzvah, why it follows the previous mitzvah, but I can tell you generalities. I can tell you as a basic order, basic categorization that the Rambam is following in counting a Sefer Mitzvos, and he goes through, it's very gishmak, he has like a, three-page introduction, and then maybe a five-page listing of all the mitzvos in Sefer Mitzvos, where he categorizes them and why they go in the order they go. And he suggests, his theory, is that the Rambam was actually, in this sense, going and following in his predecessor's footsteps of going in the order of the Aseres HaDibros. And he tries to explain how, by the way, that's not an obvious jump. He says it's obvious, it makes sense. It's not a chiddush that the Rambam would follow the original Gaonim who wrote these piyutim, these azharos. And that is a little bit of a chiddush because the Rambam has choice words for those people who are familiar, for those paitanim who wrote the earlier, the Behag and the people, Udime, the people like him. I think the Rambam writes paitanim lo rabbanim, something like that, meaning people who he didn't hold to be particularly scholarly, at least not in the realm of writing their Sefer Mitzvos. So he leveled a critique against them. He attacked them. But even so, he was influenced by the Hanhaga. That part's not a Chiddush, but David Cohen is correct, because it's Chazal. Chazal in the Medrash, tell us that there's a connection between the Taryag Mitzvos and the Aseres HaDibros, that one comes from the other. There's Shrashim and Anafim. So it makes sense that he went with that methodology, but it's not because he was tagging along with the people from before him. He called them to task. He thought they did it inappropriately in many instances. But either way, Rav David Cohen suggests that the Rambam had that same idea of ordering Al Seder, the Aseres HaDibros, again, furthering that connection between the 10 and the 613. Just as a start of an example, but if you look there, he quotes all of them. His first group up to Mitzvah Yud Tes, including Mitzvah Yud Tes, is all inyanim related to Amunah. Gets a little bit more creative at a certain point, meaning Ahava and Yira are, anafim somehow of Emunah. It's how we relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how we interact with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but that's his first 19 mitzvos. Then he says from 20 to 91, Chaf Tetzadi Aleph, there it's all about Inyani Avodah Zarah. And he says that's the second Dibra. The first Dibra was what's called Anochi Hashem, is Emunah. The second one is don't have other gods, so that's all the Inyani Avodah Zarah. The third group is, I forget what already is, Karbanos, I think, but then like a different example in Kuf Yud Tes to Kuf Mem Hei, 119 to 145. He says that's all in Yanni's rhyme. So why is Inyani Zerayim coming so early in the Sefer? He says Zerayim is because the fourth Dibor of the Aseres HaDibros is Sheshes Yamim Tavod, Vasizikom Lachtecha. And what's Avoda? Avoda means Zerayim. You Avoda Sakarka. So he says the fourth Dibor corresponds to the Avoda Sakarka, so therefore Zerayim. So you see how it has to get a little bit creative in order to fit it in. But he has, again, if you go through it, he has a whole list of these things. It's very fascinating to read. He admits he's not sure that he's finished the job, but he thinks it's better than his people who tried it before him. Yeah. So the first thing to discuss when we're discussing 613 Taryag Mitzvos is really where this number, what this number 613, where it comes from. The Rambam in his Hakdama to the Sefer Mitzvos, in his Hakdama to the Yad Chazakah and all the different places, he assumes unequivocally that there are 613 Mitzvos, Taryag Mitzvos, which were Ne'emru Lo L'Moshe Mi-Sinai. He references a drasha you have in source number 2 of Rabbi Simlai in the end of the Gemara in Makos. The Gemara there quotes that Rabbi Simlai said, Sheish meos u'shloshes rei mitzvos ne'emru lo l'Moshe, whatever, b'Sinai. And it corresponds, 248 are the mitzvos essay, 365 are the mitzvos los essay, corresponding to the limbs, sinews, whatever. That's the Gemara in Malchus. The Gemara there says there's a drush of Rav Hamnuna, I believe it is, Amar Rav Hamnuna, Maikra, what's the pasuk for this? Torah tzivah lanu Moshe, Morasha, Torah gematria, shismei v'chad sarei have, anochi v'lo yeh l'cha mipi agvur shmanum. We heard those two from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Add them on to 611, you have 613. That's the famous drasha from the end of the Gemara in Malchus. The Rambam employs that and says, you see clearly there are taryag mitzvos as we know. However, the Ramban, you'll see in a second, the Ramban takes issue with this assumption. He notes that this is one drasha, this is one mimer in the Gemara, but it doesn't necessarily prove that everyone else accepted this drasha and this opinion, that there are 613 mitzvos. How do you know it's not a machlokes tanayim? How do you know it's not a machlokes amarayim? It's interesting, because the idea of taryag mitzvos doesn't really apply in the Mishnayos at all. This is amarayim, this is in the Gemara. But there's no Mishnayos, there's no Tosefta. The entire Yerushalmi doesn't have reference to Tayag. I mean, I think off the top of my head. I don't think the Yerushalmi has a reference to Tayag Mitzvos. It doesn't appear in the earlier sources. So the Ramban says it's interesting. You're like hard pressed to find in the first place it's coming up as an Amorayim. Maybe they disagreed. Maybe they disagreed until Rabbi Simlai. Maybe he was the first one to suggest such a thing. Not so radical to think that he just does Mechadish that. So the Ramban says, hey, why are you assuming it is Dabar Pashut? He notes that it is one drasha by one man damer, but it doesn't necessarily mean everyone agrees. In fact, he says, source number three, the Ramban and his Asagos, he says that you could maybe even prove, you could maybe even show that there were Tanayim who disagreed about this. He quotes the Gemara in Sotan Daf Gimel and Aleph. The Gemara there says that Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel argued about three instances. The Ramban, if you look inside, not the bold in source number three, you'll see other instances as well. But just to focus on the Gemara in Sota, three instances in which Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel argue as to the status of certain quote-unquote mitzvahs. First of all, the Kines Ishto, Kinoi by Sota, is that a mitzvah that you have to do that, or is that a reshus that there's a license to do kinoi? Secondly, la'olam bahem ta'avodu, is that a mitzvah, is that a chova, or is that a reshus? And lachitama, that a person should be mitame, the kohen should be mitame to his krovim, is that a must or is that an allowed to, a license? In all three of those cases, Rabbi Akiva says that these are chovas, that these are mitzvahs that you have to do, and Rabbi Shmuel says they're reshus. Rabbi Shmuel says that you have license to do these things, but you're not forced to, you're not obligated to, they're not obligatory. So the Ramban here in the Hasagos points out that if Rabbi Shmuel thinks that there are three cases over here that are reshus and not a mitzvah, that means that if you have a list of 613 mitzvos, Rabbi Shmuel is going to be short, you know, by three. If there's some sacrosanct, you know, count of 613, that means that he's going to end up mechusar at 610. So that's the Ramban's kasha from the Gemara in Sota. So as you see from there, maybe Rabbi Yishmael didn't hold of 613. Maybe he held of 610, or more likely, he didn't hold of a number. He didn't have a number that he was aiming for. However many mitzvahs we have, we keep, and we have to keep them, no matter what the number is. So how do you know that there wasn't a machlok zeru? So many, many answers have been provided to this question. It's not clear even, we're not going to spend time on this, it's not clear even if the question gets off the ground for the Rambam. Is it 100% clear that if a person had something called a reshus as opposed to a chova, that it couldn't be counted as a mitzvah? So reshus seems like it means non-binding or, you know, non-obligatory or voluntary or license or something like that. But you have other cases where it's not necessarily called a chova either. A whole bunch of mitzvahs, I don't know, eight or so mitzvahs from Tzadi Vav and on in Sefer HaMitzvos, Mrs. Essay, is the mitzvahs of Tumah, that the Kohen, you know, looks at the wound and decides if it's Tameh or not, that the, you know, we paskin on Hilchos Tumah and Tara. So there's no mitzvah to be Metameh, there may not even be a mitzvah to be Metayer. There's a din, there's an idea of Tumah and Tara, and you have to be Mesiachis to those dinim as they come up. That's not a chova necessarily. It's a, I don't know if you would call it the word reshus, but it's not a chova. It's something in between. It's something which is something, it's a din that you relate to, that you're misyachis to. But lav dafka is it a chova. So is it 100% clear that just because Rabbi Yishmael says something's a reshus, it can't be counted in the Sefer HaMitzvah of the Rambam? Maybe the Rambam would say, I'd still count some of those things. And if you start getting, you know, your hands dirty over here, you look at each of these three mitzvahs, you'll find the Rambam sometimes quotes it as a mitzvah, sometimes he doesn't quote it as a mitzvah. Kinoi is, I think, strange. Kinoi, he doesn't quote it as a mitzvah, but in the Yad he says mitzvah lekanos, that there's a mitzvah to do kinoi. So he probably means it's a detail in the mitzvah of Sota. So again, it's not 100% clear that reshus versus chova is going to be the nafkamina of mitzvahs or not. But the Ramban thinks it would be. Others, some of the Achronim have a very, very fancy pilpulish answer over here. The Maram Shik quotes this, says this, that Rabbi Shmuel, you're right, he deletes three mitzvahs over here. He takes out Lo'olam Ben Bodu, I always forget them, Kinoi, and La'yitama. He takes out three mitzvahs, so he's at 610. However, Rabbi Shmuel is also the man d'amar in Menachos and Daf Lamed Zayin, where he says that the mitzvah of Arba Kanfos and Tzitzis is four mitzvahs. And so we all have one mitzvah for Tzitzis, obviously, but Rabbi Shmuel has three more for the other three corners of your beged. So there, Rabbi Shmuel makes up his other three mitzvahs. And the Achronim say, maybe, but maybe the only... Rabbi Shmuel didn't mean that they're counted as three separate mitzvahs. He didn't mean you'd count four mitzvahs of tzitzit in the Torah. He meant you get a kiyum mitzvah for each of the corners. We didn't mean that there's a count of four mitzvahs. It gets, you know, pretty hamish, pretty pilpulish there pretty quickly. But if you look in source number four, the truth is that Tosfos on the daf already got involved in this shiloh. Tosfos already asked this kasha. Tosfos wondered what's going to be with the 613 for Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel Amar Rishus, Tamil Rabbi. Bechilais Luhu, Hada Amar Bishilim, Mesechus Makos. What? Does he not hold what it says in Makos? Sheish Meos, Vidigim, Mesechus, Namur, Lamash, Mesinai. Bechil Rabbi Yishmael, Da Amar Rishus, Batzer Luhu, Ol Rabbi Kiva, Tafi Luhu. So again, the Ramban would say, yes, that's my Ha'ara. But Tos saying, Lo Yitachin. It can't be. There's a Maimer Chazal that says there's 613 mitzvahs. There must be 613 mitzvahs. It can't be Rabbi Shmuel disagrees. So what's the answer? So Tos is given an answer. Venira. The Bishar mitzvahs, the Mapik, Rabbi Shmuel, Mikra, Ovid Le Rabbi Kiva, Smach, Tavidarsh Le Ledrash Achrisi. So it must be, Enach Nami. there's going to be some machlokas down the line. Meaning every time you take out a mitzvah over here, you're going to have to add a mitzvah somewhere else. And every time you add a mitzvah somewhere else, you're going to have to cheshbon take out a mitzvah over there. Think about the Ramban and the Rambam, this seesaw back and forth. The Rambam wrote a sefer on mitzvos, and the Ramban wrote a sagos. He disagrees with, you know, so many of the mitzvos. Sometimes he thinks it should be a mitzvah, sometimes he thinks it shouldn't be a mitzvah. All the ones that he took out are now a gap in the system. So therefore, the Ramban himself, at the very end of the Sefer Mitzvos, wrote the Mitzvos Sheshachacha Rav Limnosan. He wrote Mitzvos Ese and Mitzvos Los Ese that he thinks that the Rambam left out. Why? Because you have to even out the scales. You have to make sure you hit the number. So if I took out 17 Mitzvos, I have to put in 17 Mitzvos. So Tosfos says the same thing. Tosfos say over here, and the Ramban really does come to this conclusion as well in the Hasagos. Tosfos say over here, so that's what happens. We don't know where or when this happens, but Rabbi Kiva is going to find something that Rabbi Shmuel says, and he's going to argue on it, and Rabbi Shmuel is going to argue back somewhere else in another sugya. So if Rabbi Shmuel is missing three mitzvahs over here, there's some other sugya where Rabbi Shmuel has a drusha, a din daraisa, I should say, a din daraisa of a mitzvah, and Rabbi Kiva is going to say, nah, it's an esmachta ba'alma, or yeah, that's a mitzvah, but it's included in a different mitzvah. Ein hachanami is the answer. They're going to have to shift, and they're going to have to adjust based on their machlokas over here. So you see this idea of 613 is chai v'kayim, it's ironclad. You have to stick to it. If we don't stick to it, there's going to be holes in the theory. It'll be a problem, so much so the Rishonim are bothered that you have to fix it up. Okay, you may not know where you're going to fix it up, but we're definitely going to have to fix it up somewhere. Either way, the Ramban does not readily accept the drasha as presented. He does note that it is seemingly the consensus in the Chazal and definitely post-Chazal. He eventually digs up some other Ma'amare Chazal somewhere in the Gemara, but he has a Psik Bezutra, something like that. He has like some more off the beaten track, a Ma'amare Chazal, where they confirm this idea of Taryag of 613. So where does such a thing come from? Source number 5. The Ramban suggests that there's really two possibilities. One possibility, if we're going to accept the idea of 613, one possibility, again in source number 5, is v'safik acher im hi halacha l'moshe mi-sinai. Maybe it's a halacha l'moshe mi-sinai. Kolomar, shenemar l'moshe mi-piagvura, Kadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu by Har-Sinai, kach v'kach mitzvos ani moser l'cha, l'tzavosam b'Yisrael marasha. These are the 613 mitzvos that I'm going to give you, and they are this amount, 613. That was part of the halacha l'moshe mi-sinai. Alternatively, Shehu esmachta ba'alma mina gematria hazos. Meaning, Reb Simlai sat down with his lab coat. He counted up all the mitzvos, and he came to 613. Great! Now I know there's 613 mitzvos. He said there's 613 mitzvos, and then Hamnuna came along and said, "Oh, here's a good esmachta. Here's a good hint. You know, mina Torah, a nice remes. This fact is that it says Torah tzivalanu Moshe 611 to mipiag vura shamanum. So now we have 613. So the Ramban suggests two possibilities. One is that the number wasn't, you know, determined or ordained by HaKadosh Baruch Hu and given over to us, but rather we discovered it and then found an asmachta. Or it's taka halacha l'moshe mi-sinai, like almost like HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, there are 613 mitzvahs, you must know this, you must know there are 613 mitzvahs. So what's going on in this suffix and the machlokas with the Rambam? So Rav Moshe Granik, who wrote it's called Pri Va'anaf, is the Sefer on Sefer Mitzvos, but the first volume is called Sherish Va'anaf, about the Shrashim. So in the first volume, he suggests that this question might be the result of a certain conception of Nesina Satora as conceived on the part of the Ramban as opposed to the Rambam. Maybe they're arguing about this. The Rambam in the Hakdamah to the Perashim Mishnayis writes that every single mitzvah, kol mitzvah that was given to Moshe Rabbeinu by Sinai, every mitzvah was given bit perusha, was given with its explanations, with its elucidations. So from that, you'll read it inside, but in context, it seems from the Rambam that the Rambam understands that the Mesira Satorah, the giving of the Torah by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe Rabbeinu and then to all of us, was done in such a way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded us mitzvah by mitzvah. Meaning he said, do this, do this, do that, do mitzvah after mitzvah, 1, 2, 3, 4, and he gave us so many mitzvahs. If that's the case, if the Torah was given to us in such a way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded us in mitzvah after mitzvah after mitzvah, clearly delineated, clearly separated, clearly outlined by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then if the number comes out to 613, there's no halacha l'moshe mi-sinai that you need to find 613 mitzvahs. It just resulted that way. It's a fact. When we look back at the Mesiras HaTorah, when we look back at the mitzvahs that they were given to us, so the Ribono Shalom counted out 613 mitzvahs. Not that we have a command to find the 613, not that there's a remez, the remez doesn't support it, but that's not what yields this idea that there's a mitzvah, that there's 613 as a count. Rather, the count is, no, we experienced 613 commandments from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the way, that's the way the Rambam must understand it, and probably that's how he conceives of Matan Torah as explained in the Hakdamah to the Perashim Mishnayis. However, what Rabbi Granik suggests, is that the Ramban understood the Tzuras HaKabbalah of Mesiras HaTorah, of Matan Torah, Maimon Har Sinai, differently. He thought that the Torah was given over in such a way wherein we weren't told, you know, mitzvah, mitzvah, do this, do that, do the other thing. They weren't clearly separated and delineated and outlined like we said before. Rather, the Torah was given to us as a chativa achas. Parsha after parsha, idea after idea, the Torah was handed over to us in, you know, paragraphs, in thoughts, in running sentences in many instances, and then we're supposed to look back and find 613 mitzvahs. Oh, so now that Ramban says, I have a suffix. Either we have some, you know, Kabbalah that Rabbi Simlai looked it up and he figured out 613, or no, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, here's a big, you know, big Torah, a big jumble of so many words that are put in so many different ways, and if you want to figure it out, I'm telling you right now, there are 613 mitzvahs. Hashem said to Moshe at Har Sinai, there are 613 mitzvahs, you know, included in here. Not that Rav Simlai found it and then we went based on that. No, Hashem told you there's 613. But for the Rambam, that's not necessary, because if the Rambam conceives of the mitzvahs being over one by one by one by one by one, it came out to 613. You don't need to be told. There's no halacha that has to be paskin. There's no din. There's a din of 613 mitzvahs. It just is. L'mafreya. You look back, you do the research, that's what we experienced. 613 separate mitzvahs. The Ramban will say, no, we were given one whole Torah, and then either we found 613 in there, or we were told to discover 613 in there, which is the tzveikos that the Ramban is expressing that you have here in source number 5 in the Hasaga in Shorash Aleph. Many people do wonder, what's the point of counting the mitzvahs? Obviously, the easiest answer is Yediyas HaTorah. You know, especially if there's some halacha l'moshe Sinai that Hashem said there's 613 mitzvahs, it sounds valuable to now try to explore them. Why else did Hashem tell us that there was 613? There must be some objective value to it. But Liman HaTorah, Yediyas HaTorah. Yeah, but are there any nafka minas? Is there actually any practical difference? Let's say something identifies as mitzvah and something else doesn't identify as a mitzvah. So that's just everyone gets to choose what they identify as? Or is that actually going to have some practical ramification? Does that matter? If the mitzvah is a mitzvah, it has halachic nafkamina, or no, there's no difference. Call it a mitzvah, call it not a mitzvah. It doesn't really make any difference. Other nafkaminas. So there have been attempts, you know, over the years to try to find some nafkaminas. I'll tell you right now, I'll say two things. One, it's not so clear that any nafkamina we're going to list currently is definitely true or compelling. But the second thing I'm going to say is that I'm not sure there's a nafkamina to having a nafkamina or not. Meaning there's, whether you use Reb Chaim's, you know, nafkamina is Havan in the Gemara, or whether you don't use that, there's a level of Yediyas HaTorah that's important. And apparently, for whatever reason, maybe we'll get to this, HaKadosh Baruch Hu and or Chazal following suit or on their own, determined that 613 was a good number to try to wrap our heads around, try to understand. So that's enough for us. That's enough for us. If there also happen to be nafkaminas, it would be interesting to explore them. But if there aren't nafkaminas, you're not left with like a burning kasha. It's just another sugya that you didn't find yet the nafkamina for la halacha. But even so, there were people who attempted to show that there are practical differences between being called a mitzvah and not being called a mitzvah. So the first answer might seem to you like a cop-out, but it's really very impactful and very significant. Source number 6, Rabbi Nachum Fishel Perlau, in his introduction to his commentary on Rav Sajigon, he says that the major nafkamina as to whether or not something is counted as a mitzvah is what we mentioned before. How are you going to learn other sugyas? So for example, if Rabbi Kiva has three mitzvos that Rabbi Shmuel does not, that means Rabbi Kiva will now have to discount three other mitzvos in another sugya that Rabbi Shmuel does have, and vice versa. Sometimes that'll be due to a technicality with no practical nafkamina. Other times it'll be because, you know, Rabbi Kiva says, no, that's derabanan, so it doesn't get counted as a mitzvah. Whoa, that is a nafkamina. Something being deraisa versus being derabanan is a big nafkamina. Sveikos and other things, there's kulas, so it matters if something is deraisa, derabanan. Sometimes it'll be a technicality. It's a lav shebichlalos, so we don't count it twice. Okay, but there's still a nafkamina of malkos. If you have a lav shebichlalos, you don't get malkos. So there's different, you know, things that you're going to have to twist and turn into pretzels because of. Since there's 613 mitzvahs, and since we know we're supposed to have this holistic overview of Torah, this complete unit of 613, that means we know if we cut off one mitzvah, we have to add another one. If we add one mitzvah, we have to cut off another one. So Rabbi Yochanan Fishel Perlau says, this is going to be machriach you. This is going to force you into decisions. In other sugyas, that's a major nafkamina. It's not like a nafkamina for one area of halacha. It's a nafkamina in kol haTorah kula. Every time you deal with sefer mitzvos, you have to cheshbon the entirety of Torah. You have to cheshbon the entirety of Torah to make sure everything comes out fitting neatly and smoothly. It's probably the main idea that accounts for a quote, the famous quote from Ravelvel. Ravelvel apparently said that, quote, I became a lamdin by learning the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvos. I thought he became a lamdin because he ate the cereal and brisk and they had lamdas in the cereal. But it's apparently also because he learned the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvos. And what he was trying to explain, they say, is that when you learn the Sefer HaMitzvos, you have to compare and contrast every mitzvah of the Rambam to the mitzvah of the Ramban. And then the Rambam gave you the Shrashim, which means he worked out all of the rules, why he added some, why he left out others. So every time you're learning anything in the Sefer HaMitzvos, you're balancing Kol HaTorah Kula, you're balancing so many things. You have to categorize everything, you have to be so organized, you have to be so meticulous, so careful. That's a recipe for becoming a Lamdan, is being able to balance multiple sugyas, being able to realize when I say something here, it has an impact over here, when I say something there, it has an impact over here. That's how a person becomes very, very big Lamdan. So the Brisker Rav says that's what happened to him as well. Yeah, in second the possibility in terms of nafkaminas, the Rambam, you have it in source number 7, going on to the second page, the Rambam in Shayish Tess, in the Shrashim, he says that a chi of Malkus, when a person, this is not like Tesvis, when a chi of Malkus, when a person is trying to determine how many sets of Malkus they get, so even if the Torah says the same lav multiple times, it doesn't mean they're going to get multiple Malkus, multiple sets of Malkus. They'll get one set of Malkus. When the Torah repeats the lav, why is it repeating it? So the Rambam assumes that when the Torah repeats the lav multiple times, it's just l'chizuk ha'inyan. It's just a ribui lav, and it's just a chizuk ha'inyan. It's just being mechazik. It's showing you how serious, how severe the isser that you're doing is. But it's not adding malkos. Why? Because the Rambam says in order to get malkos, you need to be formally known as a mitzvah. If something is usser and the Torah says don't do it, that doesn't get you malkos. Something has to be usser in such a way that the Torah says it's an isser, it's a los essay, it's get counted in the minyan mitzvos, then you can get a chi of malkos. But if it's just usser and it's not accounted on its own in the sefer mitzvos, you don't get malkos. So that's a serious nafkamina. No, that's a serious nafkamina. How many times a person can get whipped depends on whether the mitzvah is counted formally in the sefer mitzvos. The chalos shem mitzvah determines whether malkos are relevant in any given scenario. Another one, now these are where they get a little bit, they're really fascinating, good Ma'amar Makomos, but they're iffy. Rabbi Granik cites from the Tzlach in Maseches Beitza, who's mistapik, he's not certain, but he's mistapik, is great, whether we would say Ese Docha Los Ese by Mitzvah's Ese, which is not in Taryag. Meaning when we say that Ese Docha Los Ese, when there's a clash between a positive commandment and a negative commandment, they're at a juncture where we can't figure out who's going to win, so we hold Ese Docha Los Ese. So do we mean any positive, you know, imperative of the Torah beats out any negative imperative? Or no, a mitzvah's essay, something which is counted in the 613 mitzvahs, beats out a mitzvah's los essay, only if it actually has a chalos shem mitzvah.
But even the things listed that are not chiyuvim in the Zechar mitzvah, so how does that rule fit? Because there are plenty, like Tumantara.
But those won't have cases of Estel.
Only the mitzvahs which are listed, which are imperative, would be...
Yeah, but that's nothing to do with the slav. That's just a question of, like, I mean, you're not going to have something that says do it if it's not in the Sefer Mitzvahs do it. Mm-hmm. If it's just a din, it's not going to be a case of Estel Hosei. Estel Hosei has to be put on tzitzis, but don't wear klayim, and you're like, I don't know what to do. But right, you need a case of essay, meaning positive commandly, do as I say. Yeah. Others have this suggestion as well. Rav David Cohn, in that same Sefer, Chavos Gvul Yaibitz, so he has another Kuntres in the beginning of the book, like 50 pages, called Kuntres Mefurish Bekra. So Kuntres Mefurish Bekra is all about the mitzvot which are Mefurish Bekra, explicit in the verse, I guess, for you, Moshe. If they're explicit in the verse, they have a more lofty status as a mitzvah. That's what the thesis he's developing. And then Kedarko, he quotes 150, you know, examples of that idea. But the important thing to realize is that one of the shrashim of the Rambam is that you only count something in the Sefer HaMitzvahs as a mitzvah if it's Mefurish Bekra. Something which is a drasha does not count as a mitzvah. It might be daraisa. It's definitely daraisa. It's biblical in its origin. It's definitely a daraisa din. But it's not a mitzvah. It's not a mitzvah daraisa. It's an idea midaraisa, but it doesn't get counted in the Sefer HaMitzvah. So Mefurish Bekra and mitzvah, chalos shem mitzvah, go hand in hand. So in this kuntres, Rav David Cohen quotes from the Shita Mekubetzes in Ksubis, who says that when you have esse do chalos esse, we have an exception that esse is not do chalos esse ve esse. However, if you have an esse do chalos esse ve esse, and the esse that's being docha is Mefurish Bekra, but the essay that's attached to the losay is not Mefurish Bekra, then you could say essay docha losay ve essay. Okay, same idea. Meaning the strength of the Mefurish Bekra makes it a stronger mitzvah. He also quotes there Prima Gadim, who says that if you have an essay ha Mefurish Bekra versus an essay that's not Mefurish Bekra, usually we say ein essay docha essay, but you would say essay ha Mefurish is docha an essay she'ena mefurish. So again, the strength of the essay mefurish is a chalos shem mitzvah. It gives it more teeth in other areas of halacha. That's potentially an afkamina. The Prima Gadim wonders about that. He quotes a binas adam that maybe we only say kofen ala mitzvos if it's a mitzvah miminyan atayag, but we don't say it in every other mitzvah. And he quotes other very interesting He quotes the Prima Gadim is Mesupak in Mishpat Zahav, and in the Psicha, he quotes, meaning Rav David Cohen quotes, that he has a suffix whether Arvas applies to all mitzvos or if Arvas only applies to mitzvos Hamafurish Bekra, mitzvos which are actually counted in the meaning of mitzvos. The same thing again and again, that he does try to find all of these, albeit, you know, not necessarily compelling, but definitely possible nafkaminas. One thing I thought was an nafkamina, and he quotes, you know, it's almost clear in the Ran this way, the Ran in the Dharma, Daf Ches, tells us that the sugya of Mushba of Om Nar Sinai, that if you take a shvua on a mitzvah, it's not going to be chal, because you already have a shvua, ein shvua chal shvua, you're Mushba of Om Nar Sinai, and you took a shvua by Har Sinai to keep the mitzvah, and now you're swearing to do it again, it doesn't really add anything. So the Ran says famously there that that only applies to things which are mafurish bekra. But again, if you put the two sugyas together, that means that it only applies to mitzvahs which are Chalos Shem Mitzvah, which are in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, which actually are counted in the Minyan. And based on that, Rav David Cohen quotes from the Kuntres Divrei Sofrim. I assumed he meant Rav Elchanan, and I didn't really remember it from there, but I tried finding it inside Divrei Sofrim. I didn't find it. So maybe it's a different Kuntres, but in the name of an earlier Achron, who says that if one is Nishba, that he's not going to give classes, he's not going to teach students anymore. He's only going to learn Torah, he doesn't want to teach students anymore. So that Shvu is not Chal. And the reason he says is because the Rambam brings in the Minyan Mitzvos, in the Mitzvah of Talmud Torah, he brings the drasha of Vishinantam Levanecha Eilu Talmidecha. And so the Rambam clearly assumes it's Mefurish Bekra somehow, that Banecha Eilu Talmidecha is not just a drasha, it's Mefurish Bekra, and therefore it counts as part of the Mitzvah Daraisa, the Mitzvah's essay in the Minyan Mitzvos. It's Mefurish Bekra, and a Shvuah on it won't be Chal. It won't be a Shvuah that's Chal a Shvuah, because you're Mushba V'Omid Mehar Sinai. Rabbi Eitan Schnall, he wrote a whole shtickle Torah about this concept of Mefurish Bekra. He only wrote like a page about our topic, but he wrote about Mefurish Bekra. It's in the publication Ateres Tzvi that they put out in honor of Rav Schechter. So in there, he quotes some other Mamakomas at the end of the shtickle. Very interesting. Chavtel Zasharon has some other Achronim, and Rabbi Schnall had his own Diak in a Meiri in Avodah Zarah, which is very worthwhile to look up. The Meiri in Avodah Zarah Vavam Beis. But let's just end with source number 8 and 9. Rabbi Zelig Epstein, in an essay that he wrote for Yeshurin years ago, he starts by assuming there's not really any formal nafkamina between the different accounts of mitzvahs. If something a mitzvah, good. If it's daraisa, it's daraisa, darabanan, darabanan. Who cares if it's called a mitzvah or not? He doesn't really think there's such halachic nafkaminas. But he suggests that maybe the nafkamina is if a person's trying to be makabel ol malchus shemayim, which they probably should do a couple times a day. So you're trying to be makabel ol malchus shemayim, you need to know exactly what the ol malchus shemayim demands. You need to know what kol Torah kula demands. We say zchartem es kol hamitzvos, es kol mitzvos Hashem. You have to know all the mitzvos Hashem, remember them, and accept them. So you have to know the mitzvos in order to accept them. And he quotes here in source number 8, you have it, from Rav Soloveitchik. I don't know where this is written, but it seems like he's quoting Rav Soloveitchik verbatim. Shekasav levayer ha'inyan. Yeah, he also spelled Soloveitchik in an interesting way. It's hard not to focus on that, I get it. But then he quotes Rav Soloveitchik. I don't know where this is. I don't know where to find this. But Rav Soloveitchik said that, you know, from the Rambam, that if you want to make a kinyan on something, that something has to be a davar katsav. You have to know what it is. You can't make a kinyan on something that's in the luft, that's undefined, unquantified. So because of that, Rav Soloveitchik explained that if a person wants to be mekabel ol malchus shemayim, they want to be mekabel Torah and mitzvos, they want to take on themselves, they're going to keep the Torah, so they need to know what they're taking on. They need to know what they're making a kinyan on. So you need to know the 613 mitzvos in order to be mekabel ol malchus shemayim twice a day. And he says, if not, you won't be able to be mekabel ol malchus shemayim. So 613 has a nafkamina of kabbalos ol malchus shemayim, which is a pretty serious nafkamina. Anyone have any kashas on that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about the whole thing that we spoke about prior about malchus?
Also, yeah, I mean, we're not dealing with why Rav Zelig Epstein didn't like that one, but that's we're saying in addition to it. We're not dealing with why he didn't like that. Yeah, any kasha on this?
Is that if you buy a ger also, then he would have
to... Excellent, Avi, exactly. So Rav Zelig Epstein asks one question from the Rishonim, not for now, but then he says exactly what you just said. We know about a process of gerus where people are told, be makabel all the mitzvos. And what do? We teach them all the mitzvos? No. We teach them mitzvos kalos and mitzvos chamuros. We teach them some of the easy mitzvahs and some of the donkey mitzvahs, whatever chamuros means. Some of the harder mitzvahs. We teach them a little bit of a couple mitzvahs here and there, a smattering of mitzvahs. We don't teach them all 613, and yet they could become a ger. They could become a Jew on the spot. So the Rav said that you need to make a kinyan on all of Torah and mitzvahs. You need to know all 613. Obviously, it's not true. So I don't know the answer to that. Rav Zelig leaves that as a kasha on the Rav. That being said, he ends, and this is our last leg on the journey. So in source number 9, Rav Zelig Epstein suggests that he has a very simple, but it's a huge chiddush, I think, a nakamina. He says there's a mitzvah in the Torah of Yediyas HaTorah, that you have to know the entirety of Torah. So Rav Schechter Shlita already pointed out, it's so easy to know the whole Torah. It could fit on one bookshelf. All you need to know is Shasa Bavli, Shasa Yerushalmi, Tasefta, Midrashim, some Mechiltas. It's not such a big deal. It can fit on one bookshelf, or the Baal Tanya told us already. A little Shulchan Aruch, and you're good to go. So that's all of Torah. So Reb Zelig says, I have a bigger kulner of Shechter. You could have the mitzvah of Yedias of Torah in your pocket and be a pretty big Am Haaretz also. You know how? Because as long as you know the 613 mitzvahs, that's the mitzvah of Yedias HaTorah. Now, it's true. It's unending. It's limitless how much Torah you could know and how much of a kiyum you could have in the mitzvah of Yedias HaTorah. But the bare minimum of Yediyah, of knowledge of Torah, is knowing the Taryag mitzvahs. Why? Because they're the chapter headers. Those are the Rashi Prakim. Those are what tell you the basics of what's going on. The same way the Aseret Dibros are the headers for the 613, the 613 are the headers for the rest of the Torah, for the entirety of Torah. So as long as you know the... the table of contents, so to speak, of the Torah, so then you're good to go. You know the entirety of Torah at the lowest of levels, at least. And so, the mitzvah of Yediyas HaTorah, at minimum, can be fulfilled through Yediyas HaTaryag Mitzvos, which is why it's so important to actually know the Taryag Mitzvos. Now, this explains a story from many perms ago, when I was by Rabbi Simon. We always ended up there. It's hard to know how we got there. We always end up at Rabbi Simon at some point on Purim afternoon. And someone asked him, Rabbi, how do you have such a good memory? How do you remember everything you learn? So he said, it's not a memory, it's a havas Torah. If you love what you're learning, you're going to remember it, because you love it so much. So then I just had a kasha on that at the table. I said, yeah, but then how do you remember the table of contents of the Svarim? Because he does. So he said, let's sing a niggin. But, and I never really understood, why didn't he just say, why would I need to know the table of contents? The answer is, no, you do, you need to know the table of contents. It tells you a lot about the Sefer to know the table of contents. So that's what Reb Zelig is saying also. The Taryag Mitzvah is the table of contents for the entirety of Torah. So that's the minimum on the Yediyas HaTorah. I don't know, it seems like a very big chiddush. It's not a chiddush, you could have mitzvahs kalas. You could have, it could be that we thought that Yediyas HaTorah was the hardest mitzvah, and it's really the easiest mitzvah, you just need to memorize 613. That doesn't bother me so much. But I don't understand, you could not know Parshas Noach and be considered having fulfilled the mitzvah of Yediyas HaTorah? Or you could not know, Bilam's Klalos and be considered... where is the line? When does it become Yediyas HaTorah at the expense of not actually knowing Torah? Why is Yediyas Torah only about the mitzvahs and not about the entirety of Torah? So I don't know. Maybe he talked about this more somewhere else. I just don't see it in this little essay that I read over here. So tzarchin on that. But that's his suggestion in terms of the major nafkamina between the count of the 613 mitzvahs. Okay, we will stop here. Yashar koyach.